Karen, did you just pick all those songs to piggyback on what we talked about last week? It sure seemed like it to me. It was a perfect fit and encouraging, all hopeful songs. Well, today, we're going to talk about how to learn to hear God's voice. Can you think of much more important things than that? No. How to learn to hear God's voice. I'm going to start with a familiar story, maybe for some of you, about learning to hear God's voice. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and it starts out with this young man called Samuel. He was taken to the church, the temple at that time, and basically given over to the priest, the pastor, to raise in the church. And God started working in his life at a very early age. I tried to research it out, and the best guess that anyone could have, and there were several that said, probably about 12 years old. So a 12-year-old boy growing up in the church, and this was one of his nights. Verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. It'd be interesting to know what exactly that looked like, but he was ministering to the Lord. He was trying to make himself a blessing to God. And the word from the Lord was rare in those days. That's kind of sad, huh? Visions were infrequent. It happened at the time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight was beginning to grow dim, and he could not see well. And the lamp of God was not yet gone out, like a nightlight type of a thing. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the Ark of the Covenant, or Ark of God was. I mean, talk about a place to sleep. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." Then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Lie back down." So he went and lied down. And the Lord called him again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And the pastor, Eli, answered and said, "No, I didn't call you, my son. Just go lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that it was the Lord calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you again that you should say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lied down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called. Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? The Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do something in Israel, at which both ears and everyone who hears will tingle." And you could go on in your own leading down there later on what he had to say. But here was a young man, 12 years old or so, and for the first time, he was experiencing God speaking to him. And maybe some of you can remember when God first spoke to you. Maybe some of you are still learning to listen and discern. And if I had to pick an insight or a revelation that I got this week in prayer while I was reading my Bible, it was this. And it was like God was laying this onto me, speaking this to me. And he said this, praying and listening are two different things. Praying and listening are two different things. And I would have to admit, I always kind of viewed listening as part of prayer. You talk and then you listen, but some never get to that listening part. But I felt God was saying, praying and listening are two different things. And if that's the case, you're just guessing. I'll guess too. Which of those two would you say would probably be the most important to experience? I would say listening. Yeah, that's what I would think too. I mean, praying is important. And the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. I got this mental picture as I was putting this together. And I didn't practice this, so it might not go as smooth as it was in my mind. But, you know, there's this person called Jess Shingler. He goes to prayer to God because he has a lot on his mind and a lot on his plate. And God, I just don't seem to be hitting it off with my wife lately. And the kids, they're driving me crazy. And then I have to go to work. And that boss, he's like from the pit of hell. You know, and on and on and on and on. And I don't know what to do. I just can't get through the day. I come home with a headache and I get up in the morning and I have to start my headache over again. And that's my day. Well, I got to get going, God. Goodbye. So there, the person somewhat prayed, a very self-centered prayer, but they prayed. But how much time did they give God to even respond? Could you imagine Jess Shingler praying that prayer and God was looking down at me and listening and he hears that and he's waiting for an opportunity to just get a word in edgewise, but we never gave him a word, just never gave him a word. And then he went on with his day. Now that was a really successful prayer, right? You know, when you pray, you don't really learn much anything new. It's when you shut thy mouth and listen that you have the potential and the opportunity to learn something new that you or I need to hear. So there are two different things. Now, a lot of Christians know how to pray, and some people can pray very elaborate, passionate prayers, but listening is a totally different thing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I kind of tried to narrow it down to three specific areas. The first one is this. Jess, you need to put forth some effort. If you really want to hear God, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to put forth some effort to hear from God. Do you believe that's true? The verses that came to mind for that, very common verses. Many of you have already heard them before from Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read verses 11, 12, and 13 and about half of 14. And the last part is where I really want to center in on. They read like this, Jeremiah 29, starting with verse 11. And this is God speaking to us. For I know the plans that I have for you. Isn't that amazing if you just think about just that little bit. God knows the plans that he has in store for me and for you, Tammy, and for you, Cindy. Well, two Cindys, and Denny, and everybody else. God knows the plans he has for us, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. There's that praying part. It's important. It's very important. And I will listen to you. Now, can't get much more encouraging than that, is it? God actually is listening to our prayers. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And then another encouraging part, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Search, seek after God with all of your heart. Now, what kind of mental picture? You don't have to take the time, but just get a mental picture. What does that mean? To give yourself to seek and search for God with all of your heart. It's going to take some effort on my part to connect, isn't it? I'm going to snap my fingers, and God is drawn to my attention, and he knows exactly what I mean, and he'll be there. And there's a part for us to search and seek for God with all of our heart. Some of you like watching TV. Marcy likes watching TV. I'd rather go up and read or whatever, or go work in the mud in my garden if it's summertime. But anyway, she likes watching TV. But can you imagine? You have the night off. You can do whatever you want. So you get a nice glass of iced tea, and you go in and sit in your comfy chair to watch TV for a while, and you sit down, and you sit there and stare at that TV for an hour. Then you get up and you go about your business. Was that fulfilling or not? Because, see, you never clicked the button to turn the TV on. You never changed the channel, and you never put the sound up. For me, it has to be at least 50 to even hear it anymore. I'm sorry, Marcella. But anyway, you didn't put forth any effort. You're just sitting in front of this blank, black TV. This is just so fulfilling. Doesn't work, does it? I mean, when I was a kid, you had to get up and walk and turn it on. But now you can just do the clicking thing, but it's still you're going to have to give your thumb a little workout. You're going to have to exert some effort to be able to do that. It's the same with a radio. I have a radio out in my garage and my shop, and when I have a work project, I love to have the background music. Bill asked me the other day, where did I find out about this book, Heaven, that I'm bragging about, that it's just amazing book, probably the most amazing book I ever read, short of the Bible. And you asked me, well, where did you hear about that? And if I remembered the guy, Chip Ingram, okay, he's a speaker on the radio, and he said, you know, I just found this amazing book on heaven, and I can't believe how the insights, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm thinking, if this guy Chip is bragging it up, I should get a copy and at least look into it. But anyway, so, you know, when I go out there, you have to turn the radio on. And then you have to make sure it's set on 88.1. It's the Christian station I listen to. You can listen to any station you want, but that's the one I listen to. And then you turn it up to 50, and then I can hear it. But again, it takes some effort to be able to appreciate hearing or seeing something on TV. And why should we think it would be any different to hear from God? We can pray to God, but hearing is a totally different ball game. It's a totally different animal. And if we come to him, he'll listen. If we seek him, and we will find him when we search for him with all of our heart. There's some verses in 1 Kings chapter 15. Came to mind when I was putting this together. 1 Kings chapter 15. Chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read the verses and we'll talk about them for just a minute. It basically talks about the importance of connecting with God so you can hear his voice. I'm going to start reading in verse 9 and read down about five or six verses. This story is about a guy called Elijah, and he was one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. And matter of fact, he's one of the guys that showed up with Jesus on that mountain, you know, the Mountain of Transfiguration. Elijah was there with him. I think it was Moses, the two of them. And we might even refer to that later on, but he's the one that called fire down from heaven. You ever see anybody call fire from heaven? Me neither. He did. And then he took his sword and killed all the bad, evil prophets. And then this lady came on the scene, Jezebel, and said, I'm going to get you. And you think, all that he's seen God do and keep him safe and all, what's one lady hollering, I'm going to get you? But it was Jezebel, and he was scared spitless. He ran out of there, hightailed it out of there. And as he was running away, God confronts him in these five or six verses. Verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. Then he came there to a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Think God could say that to us sometimes? Yes. What are you doing here? Why are you doing that? What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 10. And Elijah said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken their covenant, torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword, and I alone am left, so he thought, which really wasn't true. And now they're seeking my life to take it away. Verse 11. So God said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. So he's back in this cave. God was calling him to the front of the cave on a mountain and see what happens. And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking to pieces the rocks before the Lord. I mean, this was quite the storm. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. I guess the best way to put it is it was a still, small voice compared to everything else. A gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Obviously, probably hightailed it back in there a little ways. When the fire and the earthquake and the storm and the wind was all coming, and he finally heard this gentle blowing, gentle breeze, still quiet voice, and he recognized it was something different. He wrapped himself in his face in this a mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? When I was putting this together, and I pray through it and work through it and go over it and stuff like that, I felt like God speak to my heart that when I say that today, what are you doing here, Elijah? There's going to be several in our congregation that God's asking the same question to you. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And if it's you, obviously I got your attention. What are you doing here? Still, quiet voice. Another thing I think happens when it's God's voice speaking to us, not only is it a still, quiet voice. I've never heard, I've been a pastor for 43 years now, I've never heard God audibly speak to me. Now, I've met some people that have had that happen, but it's not my case. It's usually just a small, quiet, still voice. Does it go to my head? Does it go to my heart? Does it go where? I think it basically goes to my spirit connected with God's spirit when it was renewed, and I gave my life to him. So somewhere inside, my spirit picks up on God, and it's usually a still, small, quiet voice. But the other thing that comes is this inward witness that came from God. God's trying to get my attention. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. Well, have any of you had that happen? A still, quiet voice come to you and say something, and you recognize and you feel, that was God. Yeah. It's a very common thing once you learn to distinguish God's voice. Matter of fact, we're going to find out how common it should be in just a few minutes. Another question is, are you just really connected to God? And I use myself as an example, but I could name anybody else in here and beyond here. Are you connected to God in a really intimate, personal, tangible way? There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's verse 17. I hesitate to tell you the verse because Michael will have it up before I even turn to it, probably. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. And there's context before and after, like all verses, but for time's sake, I'm just going to read verse 17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, you could meditate on that for days and weeks and months, that if I've given my life to Jesus and I've asked him into my life, and I'm committed up to try to follow him, my spirit is actually connected to his spirit in a real, tangible way. Now, is that amazing or what? That's very amazing to me. Why he would do that with me? Like Paul, you know, sinner that I am. But he wants to connect with me in a tangible way. So when I'm connected with him in that very personal, intimate way, whether I feel like it or not, how many of you know most of us don't feel that way most of the days? But that doesn't take away from the truth that that's the way it is. Okay, and so when I'm connected with God in that tangible, intimate way, my spirit is connected with him. So it's like his spirit is speaking into my spirit, and it's usually a quiet, still, small voice, but nonetheless, he's trying to get through to me. So as I give myself, you know, it takes forth some effort, as I give myself to seek him, as I give myself to pray to him, and even further, as I give myself to listen to him, things can happen between us. God's spirit and my spirit. Now I'll take it one step further before we move into number two of three, and it's this. Yes, we need to seek him. That's part of our effort. Yes, we need to be praying to him. That's part of our effort. And even more so, we need to be listening to him. Just like Eli was telling to Samuel, if he comes back again, say, yes, Lord, I'm here. What do you want to tell your servant? Speak, and I'm going to listen. And the last and the ultimate one, and I've met loads and loads of people, I'm sure Rick Dennison have had this happen many times over the year, because you and I are both in our 40s as far as years as a pastor, right? We got 80-some years between the two of us. Not going to find too many guys that have that. How many have you heard, or maybe it's affected you before, that God spoke to you about doing something and you just never followed through to do it? Andrew, was it you? I know you in the Marines, you have several things that you said that you picked up from the Marines that I really appreciate. One of them is, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. Okay? That's the Marine slogan. But another thing, I think it comes from you, but I can't remember what it is now. Another one is this, that delayed obedience is disobedience. If it wasn't from you, go ahead and take credit for it, because it's pretty good, okay? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Now think about when you're raising your kids and you say, Jeremy and Micah and Andrew, I want you to clean up this room right now or you're in deep trouble. And then you go out and you do something outside and you come back in. It might have even been worse. You think, you guys, what did I tell you? Yeah, we were going to when the TV show got over, or we were going to when this was taken care of. Nah. Now, I can't say for certain that this is how God acts, but I think if I took some time, I could show some examples of it in the Bible, that delayed obedience is really disobedience, that when God gives us something to do, and we don't respond and do it, what kind of motivation would he have to give you something else to do if he already knows he can't trust you just to do what he's already told you to do? And has any of us ever been guilty of that? Every one of us has been guilty of that. And what do you say? Well, yeah, what do I do now? Well, you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I know you asked me to do this. I know you asked me to go see this person or write this letter or send an email or whatever, or go mow this person's lawn, and I just didn't do it, and I'm sorry. And then you say, God, is it too late? Do you still want me to do that? Or did I miss the boat? The water's already over the dam, and I'll try to do better next time. And he'll speak to your spirit, his spirit speaking to you, and say, well, Jess, you're in luck today because it's not too late. George still needs some help mowing his lawn. Whew. Thanks for giving me another chance. I can remember when I was a young Christian, I became a Christian in Alaska, and telling Brad and Cindy that I met my wife. I was her first patient on her first day of work in a hospital in Alaska. And I always joke around saying I am so glad I was the first guy that she met. But anyway, I always thought that was funny. But anyway, I also met Jesus. Marsh and I both met Jesus in Alaska the same month, and it was 6 months before we met one another. So Alaska is pretty special to me. And that's why I did wear it. It's back in my office. This hat that says Sitka, Alaska on it. And why do you wear this hat that says Sitka, Alaska? Because so many people come up to me and say, Alaska, you were there? And I can say, yeah, let me tell you about it. It's where I met Jesus for the first time. He made himself real to me. Plus, I got a good wife out of the deal. So, you know, so it's like a witnessing hat that I have. If I have a hat that says Steelers or something on it, like some of my kids might wear, they'd say, Steelers, let me buy you a Ravens hat this year or something like that. Not that much of a witnessing tool, but the Alaska, Sitka, Alaska. So anyway, when I left Alaska to move to New Hampshire to take a Christian job, full-time Christian job at a camp on Lake Winnipesaukee, you know where that is. And the church that I started attending is in Alton, or not Alton, the camp was in Alton. The church was in Laconia, and right around the other side of the lake. But one day, we were having a special speaker. He was from England, and he flew all the way in to minister to several churches in America, and one of them happened to be at Laconia, New Hampshire, where I was attending church. And so I knew he was there. I could see him sitting up front by the other pastors. And this was all new to me. And I was worshiping God, and I had this thought come to my mind. It's like God's Spirit conveying a thought to my spirit. And the thought was this: say that just like Abraham left everything to follow God, so you must also have that willingness to leave everything behind to follow God in your life. And I felt like my heart was beating. Anybody ever have almost like a prophecy or a word from God coming to you, and you feel like saying it, but you don't feel like saying it? You know what I mean? Basically, I was scared. I was timid. I was too shy, and I didn't say it. And then the worship service ended, and the guy came forward to speak. It was Ern Baxter. He's been with Jesus quite a few years now. He grew up. He was a Canadian for a while. And he grew up, but I think he was from England originally. And he came, and he was the speaker. And so this was a famous honor to be able to hear this guy come and share with us. And I was sitting on the front, and Ern got up and said, "Today, I want to talk to you about the importance of leaving everything behind, just like Abraham did, and follow him, counting the cost, but being a risk taker. Are you willing to do that?" And I thought, God, I just blew it big time. You know how much that would have made Ern look good, like make me look good. But because of my timidity or shyness or whatever, I just didn't say it. So you know what I did? I said, God, I'm never going to let that happen again. When a word from you comes, when a thought comes, I'll just totally ignore it and go on with my life. No. I said, God, help me to do a better job next time. Help me to get a better batting average every year of my life. When I feel like you're telling me to do something or sharing something with me, I hear something with you, I hope I can have the trust to step out in faith. I thought of one other time, just as I'm talking. There was a guy in our church years ago. Jeremy, you might remember him. Leonard Potter. Some of you knew him. Leonard used to go, he loved to go turkey hunting. So he would come up to go turkey hunting around our house. And then about 8 or 8:30, he would stop by the house. "Anybody up in there? I'm here for my coffee." So come on in, Leonard. You know, some of us, we weren't even dressed yet or whatever, but there was Leonard for his coffee. And today he said, "I have a dilemma. My one friend called, and his John Deere tractor is stuck in almost like in a ditch on a downhill slope right by the road, and he can't get it started. You and I need to go and help him." "Okay, I'll help you, Leonard." So Leonard and I went, and we found the guy. We were standing by his John Deere. It wouldn't turn over, and nothing was happening. And I felt like God say, you know, spirit to spirit, go up and lay hands on that tractor and speak life to that tractor. Now, is that weird or what? You know what I thought? That's just too far out there. I'm a pastor, and what is this guy going to think if he's laying hands and praying over his tractor and commanding it to start in the name of Jesus? I'd be a bad witness, right? So you know what I did? I went up, laid my hand on the tractor, and didn't open my mouth, and didn't let my lips even move. "Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you'd start this tractor." Because I was too embarrassed to take the step of faith to do it. And then Leonard said, "Let's just try it one more time." It kicked off. I think, I did it again. I could have made God look so good. But I was too scared to step out in faith. And so you're not the only one that has not always been obedient when God gives you something to do. But I'll tell you, if, and that also shows God's grace, you know, if Jess goofed up all these times, I'm still willing to trust him and come back to him again. But I don't want to come to the place where God says, that's it. So being obedient to what God tells you to do is so important for you and me and everyone else. So there's the need for effort to be put forth in connecting with God. And the second one is that we need to learn to recognize his voice. How do you do that? You know, when I'm over here at the office working during the daytime, and I get a phone call, and I pick it up. You ever have this happen? Somebody says, they don't say hello, they don't say who they are, they just say, will you be able to do this later on today? You ever had that happen? You're thinking, who am I even talking to? What am I even going to say? But when Marcella calls me, I recognize her voice. Why? Because I'm with her every day of my life. Her voice becomes so natural and engraved. Matter of fact, there was a time about 3 weeks ago, she called, didn't say who she was, and she said, would you be able to do this or whatever? And I said, oh, my little sweet cake. Yes, I'd be glad to do that for you. And she said, what if I wasn't your little sweet cake? I said, well, then I would have really made a fool of myself. But anyway, but you know, I recognize her voice because I'm with her. And why should you or I think that we could recognize God's voice if we don't on a regular basis spend time with him? Some in prayer, more in listening, and when we get to point three in just a minute or two, a couple minutes, that the best way to spend time with God, as far as I'm concerned, is getting into your Bible on a regular basis. Only not just reading it to say, there, I read it, and then I can go on about my day. When I first became a Christian back in 75 in Alaska, and I met this God that I had avoided all my teenage years until I was 19, that I carried this little note in wherever I was reading for the day. And this was the insight that I wrote on the note. Remember to pray first, stupid. Why did I have that note there? Because if I didn't remember to pray, I wouldn't remember to say, God, I want to hear from you today through what I'm reading. Open my eyes, but even more, open my ears. Help me to catch what you want to say to me through this scripture. And I'll tell you, I do it every day now. And there is way, way more. I would say at least 3/4 of the time that I spend 15, 20 minutes in my Bible, that God doesn't show me something pretty amazing or speak something to me amazing. But it's because I still remember, God, I want to hear from you today. Open up my eyes and my ears. So let's look at these verses in John chapter 10 for a couple minutes. John chapter 10, I'll start with the first 4 verses, and they're all Jesus speaking to us. And he says this in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you. Now, I think he says truly, truly, because it's more true than just a truly. You know, this is important stuff, Jess. Pay attention here. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and get this, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A couple other times in this chapter, verse 16 says this, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. He was talking basically at that time with the Jewish people, and I'm not a Jew, but I'm part of that flock. He was talking about me and probably most of you. Here's a verse 27 in the same chapter. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if what Jesus is saying here three times in one chapter is true, then either I'm not a sheep, and if I'm not a sheep, just why not become a sheep today? Give your life to Jesus today. Invite him into your life today. Then you're a sheep. Or perhaps I'm a sheep, but I haven't learned to distinguish or hear God's voice. That's all right. It's a learning process. But realize that's where God wants to take you, to a place where you hear his voice speaking to you on a regular basis. Is that encouraging? I think so. Neil thinks so. Is that encouraging? Is that amazing that God would want to speak to you and me? It's very amazing. It's very encouraging. You have to learn to turn the TV on to the right station or the radio onto the right frequency until you can connect with God and hear him speak to you. And like I said, I think, for my opinion, the easiest way is just to get in his word. You know, if I'm in his word on a regular basis, my mind is being reprogrammed, transformed to think more like God. Could anyone here other than me use some of that once in a while? Yeah. So here's how to do it.
Well, I'm too busy to do that.
Well, you were right. You were too busy. What are you going to do about your too business? I need to rearrange my schedule or what? And what could be not worth compromising my schedule for to connect with God? You know, I carry this little thing in my back pocket. I've got my wallet in here, but this is more important than my wallet. Not that the wallet usually has much money in anyway, but this is so important because this is my second brain. Anybody need a second brain other than me? You young folk like Micah, Esther, you need three or four? I know you do it, Bill. Your second brain is in your phone. You want to remember something, so you just punch it in your phone. I didn't even have a cell phone. This brain's doing all right so far. But anyway, if I don't write it down, I have a tendency to forget. But if it's written in my second brain and I look through this in the morning, I see, oh yeah, today I have to check this date for the fishing derby. Oh yeah, I had this thought come to my mind while we were at worship and I just wrote it down. It'd probably be a sermon someday. That the thought was, trust the trainer. And we're the ones being trained. Trust the trainer. You see, those things are important for me to remember, so I write it down so I don't forget. And in the same way, come up with your own system to write something down that you would see on a regular basis until you catch it. Maybe you want to put it on the refrigerator, maybe on the mirror of your bathroom. I have a couple things on my steering wheel of my truck, and I change them up every once in a while. But God, Help me to learn to recognize your voice. Would that be worth writing down so you catch it? And pray that simple little prayer every day until you start catching it. It's not that complicated if you put forth a little effort.
For time's sake, I won't turn there, but if you're taking notes, in Matthew 17, verse 5, it's the time when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he took his three best buds up there with him. It was Peter and James and John, and they went up there, and Jesus was kind of transformed. It says his face was glowing like the sun, and all of his clothes turned radiant white, and the three buddies, Peter and James and John, were up there, and put yourself in their shoes. They had to be just standing there in awe, you know, like a deer would be as the headlights hit him when they're going down the road. And Peter always has something to say. You ever notice that? He's a good guy, and I want to spend lots of time with him when I get to heaven. But he just never learned to keep his mouth shut many, many, many times. And so he comes up with this idea, and he says to Jesus, "Jesus, why don't I go out and build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, and you guys would appreciate that once, or this time, right?" And all of a sudden, it says this cloud came over top of all of them. I think it was a bright cloud, and there was a voice calling out from the cloud, and it was God. And this is my translation, but it's pretty accurate if you check it up. Matthew 18, I think it's right around verse 5 or so. The cloud was there, the voice was coming, and it was speaking to Peter. "Peter, this is my son. Just shut up and listen." "Yeah, you look it up." I guess I did look it up. Maybe I can read it for you. I know it's a loose translation there, but it's close. Matthew 17, verse 5. "This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Listen to him!" Explanation mark. Just shut up and listen. You don't have to be about doing all your busy work for God as much as you have to just shut up and listen. If God was wanting us to do that and talking all the time in our prayers, we would look a little different. You know, one way we would look different, we would only have one ear, probably be down here around our belly button, and then we would have two mouths, one here and one here. Talk as much as we want. "These are my prayers. Listen. Okay, I'm done. I've got to get going, God." But he gave us two ears and only one mouth. You ever think of why he did that? Maybe because we need to learn to listen twice as much as we do talk. So we have to learn to listen. There's another time, I think, in the next chapter, chapter 18. I'm not going to take the time to find it, but you can look it up. Chapter 18, where Jesus says, you need to be like little children if you want to enter the kingdom of God. And I was thinking, well, that could be with children. I can remember, I think I did this with all three of you guys when I was helping teach you to swim, be at the Y or down at the stream. See if any of you remember this. I stood out in the deep water, maybe up to here, and you were just maybe 5 or 6, and you were standing there on the bank or the edge of the pool, and I said, "Just jump into my hands." And none of them trusted me enough. They just stood there. No. They all trusted me enough. They heard what I asked them to do, and then they responded, and they jumped into my hands. But great father that I was, as soon as they jumped, I jumped over to the left and they fell in a deep water and drowned. I had 10 sons at one time.
No, not really.
But you see what I'm saying? You have to be willing, when you hear something, trust and respond. Because delayed obedience is really disobedience. So when God speaks to us, we need to learn to respond. And lastly, before we get to number 3, which is the shortest of all, don't wait for a Dead Sea experience before you obey. Not a Dead Sea, a Red Sea. Do you know what I mean by that?
Moses, stand still
and put your ark out, your staff out, and we will part the waters on both sides of you and take my people to safety. Now, if God spoke that to me, yeah, I would do that. I don't even know if Billy Graham ever had that happen. I don't think so. So you can't just wait till you get this big thing from God before you respond. I think the more we learn to respond on the little things that he talks to us about, and he sees that we're willing to trust, willing to obey, then he'll give us some bigger things. I think that's very scriptural. About that guy that had the 10 talents and the 5 talents versus the 1 talent. You guys were faithful to what I asked you to do. Enter into the joy of your master, and you have 5. Here's some more. You had 10. Here's some more. You had 1 and didn't obey even a little thing like that. You didn't get very many compliments. That's putting it lightly. So we need to learn to be obedient even when it's not a big thing, because they'll usually start with little things. And then lastly, God's word. There's some verses in 1 Timothy chapter 3. There's verses like this all over the Bible, but these are the ones that came to mind. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And God says this to us in his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof. Yeah, I need that sometimes. For correction. Yeah, I need that sometimes. For training in righteousness. Yes, I need that sometimes. So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So the bottom line is, this is where I get formed when I'm spending time alone with his word. And you can follow a Bible reading thing like I do, or you can just pick a chapter and start reading it, and at least read a chapter or so a day, 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes you get hooked on it and you want to spend more. And read through that book and see what God would say, especially when you pray. I give you permission to use the same note I did. Remember to pray first, stupid. If you don't want to call yourself stupid, you can say, remember to pray first, you good-looking hunk of a guy. And you can put on whatever you want on your note. But remember to pray first that God, teach me to recognize your voice. Teach me to hear you speaking to me, and put it somewhere in your Bible, on your fridge, in your truck. If you don't have a truck, go buy one. No, but you know what I'm trying to say. Put it somewhere where you'll notice it on a regular basis and pray that prayer on a regular basis until it happens. And it will happen. I had this friend, Marsh, and I had this couple. This was 25 years ago. Matter of fact, I seen something about 10 years ago that this guy retired. And they were part of our church 25, 30 years ago. A husband and a wife, and they had 2 little kids. And he had a good job. He was a state trooper and a really good friend. And he was stationed down at Bloomsburg. And his wife called one day and said, can I get together with you and Marcy? I have something I need to really bounce off of you. Well, sure, we'll set it up. So we set up this meeting. We had our small talk, you know, and then she got there in the front room in the house we're still living in. And then I said, well, so what's the thing you wanted to talk about? She said, well, I just want to tell you that God's been speaking to my heart for several weeks now. And I know he's told me to leave my husband and kids and go get married to this other guy that I've met. Oh, okay. So I looked at Marcy and she looked at me. And then I said, well, God will never ask you to do anything that'll be contrary to his word. And she said, well, that's what I heard. Well, I think you heard something other than God. Now, what did she do? Like all good patients that you have as a midwife, she took the medicine and she lived happily ever after. You know, she left the house and within 1 week she moved out and she was living with this other guy. Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to say is not only do we need God's word tucked into our brain, reprogrammed on a regular basis, so that we know how God thinks, so we can start thinking like him, and so that we give him opportunities to speak to us, and we learn to recognize his voice, that spirit connecting with our spirit. It's like, aha, it's God. But also, so we know how to do things the right way. So, if we're serious about learning to hear from God, one of the most important things we can do is spend time in his word, learning his voice, learning how he thinks, learning how he makes decisions. So in summary, praying and listening are two different things. We're going to have to be willing to put forth some effort if we're going to learn to hear God's voice on a regular basis. And obeying is so important in the process. Obeying even in the little things. Don't miss it. Don't miss that opportunity for God to amaze you, even in the little things. Number two, learn to recognize his voice. And you do that by spending time with him and asking him to help you learn to recognize his voice. Being obedient even in the little things. And number three, you just got to get into this thing. I can't remember where it is right now. You can talk to Rick afterwards and he'll give you the verse and the chapter right off the top of his head. No, sorry. But somewhere it says that your word is not only a light to me, but it's my very life. My very life. It's not just for pastors, it's for every one of us. And if you want to hear from God, which I can't for the life of me think be more important just than that, I need to put forth effort, learn to recognize his voice, and spend time with him on a regular basis.